C-78. GSC Headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. In the administrative headquarters of the Global Space Commission, the building where he now spent almost all of his time, GSC Chairman William Godfrey sat at the head of a long glass table in the company of his bloated inner circle of scientific and media advisors. None of them had previously known a mood like it, with compounding difficulties continuing to pile up, and Godfrey deciding that maintaining what he deemed a dignified public silence was the best way forward for now. The Kerguelen bolide alone presented a significant challenge, raising as it did many troubling questions about the GSC's current abilities to detect and defend against incoming planetary threats. Since then, a regrettable flare-up between international tourists and the GSC Security Corps officers stationed at Lake Namtso had piled on even more pressure. This posed a very different, but no less difficult challenge than did the bolide, particularly with Ding Ziyang having already expressed his strong displeasure that the GSC employees in question were being widely reported as Chinese guards, following Godfrey's clumsy description of them as such before he had been fully briefed on the incident. But Timo Fiori's recent statement of his intent to launch several space-based projects took the biscuit, posing nothing less than an existential threat to the GSC. As several members of Godfrey's inner circle were insistently telling him, they simply couldn't be seen to let Timo get away with it. No one was legally entitled to launch anything into space without explicit approval and an announcement of plans to disregard that cornerstone of the GSC's charter was an overt challenge to the commission itself.
"I'll deal with Timo personally in New York on Sunday," Godfrey said, referring to his own as-yet-unannounced appearance on Focus 2020 in 3 days' time. "Namtso will have blown over by then, and he's not going to do or say anything else beforehand."
Ever since Jack Neal had scampered off to John Cole's side like the little rat he was, Godfrey had given up listening to too much of what any single media advisor told him. Trust was an issue, of course, but more generally, Godfrey had come to detest his own increasing dependence on Jack prior to cutting him out. In one particular moment of clarity, Godfrey realized that he had been succeeding in politics for long enough without a PR-focused nobody at his side, and that such nobodies were better suited to working with weak role-fillers like Cole and President Slater, or accidental celebrities like Dan McCarthy. For all of the old man's flaws, Godfrey had never seen Richard Walker, weak in no one's eyes, walking around with a manicured yes-man on his arm. He likewise had no memories of any of the bygone British politicians he admired so much ever changing their minds based on news cycles or media analysis. They were strong enough to stand on their own 2 feet. They didn't need Jack Neal's or Emma Ford's, and neither did he.
"You have to be strong on this," said one of the faces in his crowd. The young woman was English, like most of the media advisors.
"It takes strength to take your time," Godfrey replied.
"Silence is weakness," she insisted. Godfrey pointed to the door.
"Get out!
You can't be serious."
"Out!"
he bellowed, slamming his fist against the desk firmly enough to elicit physical recoils from most of the people sitting around it.
"And that goes for anyone else who wants to question me."
None of the young media advisor's colleagues joined her as she sulked out of the room with her tail between her legs, nor did any of them ask why they were there if Godfrey didn't want their input, even if they couldn't help but wonder. The science advisors, meanwhile, sat just as uncomfortably.
"Now, if we can forget about the side issues and get back to the bolide," he said, almost petulantly and with one eye on the tablet computer in his hand. "In fact, all of the media people, out. This isn't for you."
They looked around at each other, as though unsure whether he was serious. Godfrey answered this question by walking to the door and holding it open.
"Hurry up! You're not all fired, only her. The rest of you, I just need you to get out. Go and work on something to take the shine off our friend Timo's little reciprocity shenanigans. One of you mentioned the cultural insensitivity of what he said about civilizational progress, I believe. Latch on to that. Get an outrage campaign up and running with some over-the-top clickbait. If all goes well, we might even snare Cole by working him into siding with Timo. And there we have it, all of our enemies lined up in a row.
30 seconds later, Godfrey closed the door and returned to his seat. The room was now sparsely populated by 6 of the GSC's science advisors, who acted as go-betweens to ensure that Godfrey was always up to speed on important developments at any of the Commission's worldwide facilities.
Okay, so the latest data was not what I expected, and it raised some new questions, Godfrey said. Do we have any new answers?
Yes, sir, said a middle-aged Argentine. An hour ago I reported that analysis of the meteor's initial entry showed it to be highly irregular, in the collective words of our senior analysis team. They wrote this in an official memorandum which also stated that they were awaiting comparative data from elsewhere which would either strengthen or challenge their assumptions regarding these apparent irregularities.
Your expression says it strengthened them, Godfrey observed.
The man nodded, an extremely uneasy look on his face.
Sir, in the last few minutes their description of the event at Kerguelen has changed from highly irregular to observably unnatural.